Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
Welcome back, you U students, you big goofs, you. Welcome back. We're getting well into the new semester, which probably means that the initial excitement of starting some new classes has begun to fade, and in its place, that old anxiety and seasonal depression has started to set back in. It can get rough out there, but worry not. The new semester also means a fresh batch of stories from your favorite college podcast, the podcast that always keeps it real. It's Real College Podcast, here to keep you up to date on what's going on around the U. At the Hole Music Club, the inauguration of our new university president, some move-in drama, and more. I'm your host, Nathan Fervoy. Stick around. As the new school year cycle gets going, all kinds of clubs and sororities go into recruitment mode, hoping to draw in as many fresh-faced freshmen as possible. Radio K is no exception. This past week, we lured students up to the station with a live band and studio and the promise of 500 moist, warm insomnia cookies. If you missed out, I won't be able to bring you a cookie, but I can bring you along for a quick tour through Radio K.
It's great. Radio K. Radio K. Radio.
How's the setup for the tour going?
Yeah, we're getting there. We have a band setting up in studio. We have our staff members kind of scattered about. Everyone's wearing their little graphic tees. We have some cookies coming here in like 20 minutes. Really excited to get some fresh faces through the door and teach them about the world of radio.
Cookies? Not right now. I mean, they might want a cookie. But I will.
Do you remember like your first time coming up to the station?
I remember going to the first Sav and being very afraid of all the cool college radio kids. But now I think I've done a sufficient job of uncooling the staff, so it's not scary anymore.
Do you remember your first time coming up to Radio K?
I do. I came up on like a random Wednesday, and I came up here and I was like, "Is this Radio K?" And they were like, "Yes." And I was like, "What is that?" And then the training director at the time, they just popped up over their cubicle and said, "I'm the training director. I will give you a tour." And I said, "Great."
Cookies had not yet arrived, but some new faces had popped in, excited to take a look around the station. What are your first impressions of Radio K? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Like, what's up?
It's a pretty cool place. I wanted to come here first semester. I just couldn't find the time. Now I've got time, so I'm coming here, and it's been great so far.
Okay. So, yes, welcome to Radio K. I said it already, but saying it again.
This is where most of the magic happens. This is where you come to chill if you just want to, if you just need a break. This is where Sav takes place on Wednesdays, and this is where we'll have free pizza on Fridays. Every Friday at 2 o'clock, stop on by because we got a pizza pie, and then also we have some VHS popping in the television right there. The beautiful TRT. This is where the Real College Podcast likes to meet, and where they. Yeah, where they have their weekly meetings on Thursdays, and where they talk about...
A quick self-plug. If you're a U student with podcast dreams or some great stories to tell, stop by the station Thursdays at 4.
That's kind of what's going on right here.
We're walking. And this is the narrow corridor. Yes, and you're on a tour. So, yes, this is Studio K. This is the studio where we have bands and music and posters.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Every Friday, we got a different band in here in the studio. And sometimes we get a touring band in. So you never know what might come through that door. It's like Pawn Stars. You can do that as a volunteer. You can record some of the artists performing live in Studio K. As the man said, this is the cave. That is the colloquialism for this area of the Radio K dungeon. Although it's on the sixth floor, on the highest floor, so. Yeah.
Sky Dungeon.
I like that.
I'm not watching YouTube videos. I'm working on the latest OTR video that's off the record, a weekly music video that we throw up on YouTube every week.
I don't know. So,
This is the on-air DJ booth. This is the important, this is the end-all be-all.
Hi.
This is what's going down. You see this, you hear this music right now? This is going live. I can prove it to you.
With the touch of this button.
That right there is 100.7 FM, broadcasting all throughout the Twin Cities metro area, and even a little farther. Well, no, this one's going a little farther. That's AM. It goes farther.
Record of a random genre that people kind of doesn't exist. The Seeds, a good old reissue.
Elton John. We have even selections from the Drive soundtrack. We got a little of everything here at Radio K. Even stuff that you've never heard of that's still good. Thank you, Caitlin.
What are you expecting with this next batch of kids and coming up here?
It's pretty cool. You can tell like they already have an idea of what Radio K is, and it's going to be cool to see what they make Radio K into. Because, you know, I feel like every like generation kind of changes it a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say just say be excited, because you're probably going to find your favorite song that you don't even know about yet just by being here.
Other than that, just say what you like doing and we will connect you with someone who does what you like doing. It's really cool, whether that is like photography, videography, audio editing, writing. Like, there's someone at the station who's doing it as their job and you can hang out with them and also do it, which is really cool.
Dope. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, first impressions of Radio K? What do you think?
First impressions. I think this is a really cool place. The vibe in here is really chill. I really appreciate just like the authenticity in here. I think it's a really like real raw place, and I appreciate that.
Every year, the weekend of dorm move-in marks the return to classes around campus. The chaotic scene of parents, newly liberated kids, and wheelie carts strewn all about seldom goes as planned. Producer Ben Hallam checked in with some new residents about their move-in experience.
So yeah, I'm obviously a freshman. I moved into Middlebrook like an hour into it. I know that there were like these like worker guys who had to like come up to our dorm and like move my roommate's bed into the middle of our room.
That's Dory, a freshman at the University of Minnesota. As part of our back to school episode, I spoke to Dory about her move-in process at Middlebrook Hall. Move-in can be stressful for everyone, but it's especially stressful when things go wrong. Things like flooding on the first and fourth floor of your dorm hall. Flooding that can only be turned off in your room.
And then they had to like get up into the water pipes in our room, like because that's where the main like water pipes are, I guess. So they had to like fix the flooding from on the 12th floor, which is where I stay, because there was flooding on the fourth floor, and people had to like get moved like back up to like the fifth floor. People were getting put into like apartments, I guess. I don't know. But also on move-in day, the elevators were broken. Like they broke down for a second, and I came back to realize that the elevators were broken, so I had to walk up all 12 flights of stairs with all my like groceries, which was kind of annoying too.
These little inconveniences are a big part of many move-in stories. To find out more about how these inconveniences happen and how the university tries to avoid them, I spoke to
Susan Stubblefield with Housing and Residential Life,
the administrator in charge of
coordinating move-in.
Susan admitted that there were always hiccups during move-in, but claimed that
really, we haven't had too many things that have been hard to overcome.
Sure, things may get disorganized at times, things may break down, and it might be stressful for a lot of the students and their families who are moving in. But from a logistics standpoint, a lot of those things are expected in as large an operation as moving in thousands of freshmen to their new homes for the next year. As Susan presented it, it's really an accomplishment that nothing worse has ever gone on during Welcome Week, especially given, as Susan elaborated, how stressful the process can be for freshmen and their families.
Oh, I think both students and their families and their loved ones that are coming to help them, it is stressful because they're saying goodbye, and they're saying goodbye in a way that is different than before, probably. For many of them, they're meeting their roommate for the first time. That's a really important connection for students. They don't know what living in a residence hall might really be like. They might have been to campus too, but living here, can really feel different. And then it's just all the stress of like, will all my stuff fit where I want it to fit? And will I fit in? Will I find friends? And so move-in is that reality of the big change that's happening in their life. And we can't solve those things, but we can try to lessen the move-in experience, creating more stress for whatever's going on.
But not all the negative emotion associated with move-in is stress. Sometimes, it's disappointment. As the newness of college life wears off, the realities of dorm life set in. To find out more about this disappointment, I spoke to San San, a freshman living in an expanded double, or a double room used to house three people, in Comstock Hall. I asked her, if she could choose not to live in an expanded double, would she?
Absolutely. I would actually just choose not to live in Comstock at all. I think they really need to renovate it because, like, the hallways are even, like, so small. My brother couldn't fit through, and he's, like, a pretty big dude. Like, he's, like, 6'5", and, like, 300 pounds, and, like, he couldn't even, like, maneuver the, like, moving in bins through the hallway because it's so tiny. I was expecting nicer things, like, especially since we're paying so much money to be here, and, like, what, I think it's, like, $9,000 to like just live in the dorms. Like, I was expecting not to see like hair in the showers or like mold, like and like just have some like pretty good things.
Whether it's flooding in the lobby of your dorm hall, emotional goodbyes, or disappointment in the quality of dorm life, move-in is full of surprises. Dorm life is a weird stage in between moving out of your parents' house and getting a place of your own. It's a place where you have more freedom than you ever had before, but almost everything still remains in the hands of a distant bureaucracy. A bureaucracy that, whatever happens during move-in, still keeps things running pretty smoothly.
The freshmen aren't the only new faces on campus this semester. Just a few weeks back, new university president Joan Gable officially took over from her predecessor Eric Kaler. In the years before his stepping down, Kaler was criticized for his failure to properly address issues of minority group disparities and inclusion within the university and a general lack of transparency, a legacy that, judging by her inauguration, Joan Gable would like to leave in the past. Producer Tosin Fasimo has more.
Last summer, it was announced that former University of Minnesota President Eric Kaler would be stepping down from his position after 8 years in office. Following months of deliberation, the Board of Regents voted in Joan Gable, former provost at the University of South Carolina, as the university's new president. Her inauguration ceremony took place on September 20th, and I went down to check out the festivities.
A lot of people just kind of standing around, but like, she's supposed to deliver her speech at 11? It's 11:15 now, so I wonder if I missed it.
My initial plan was to see President Gable deliver her inauguration speech on the steps outside of Northrop, but that didn't end up happening.
Can I ask you something? Did she already deliver her speech?
Unfortunately, yes. We were here right before 11, and we were kind of hoping to hear it, but then she was almost done.
As it turned out, it wasn't that I was late to the inauguration speech. Rather, Gable had given her speech early.
What kind of organization is that when they tell us at 11, and then we come at 11, and it's over?
Yeah.
I was disappointed to have missed Gable's speech. It was fun to be outside, surrounded by people and free food and merch, but I had come specifically to see the new president address the public. As far as I understood, that was the entire point of having an inauguration, to introduce Joan Gable to the school. So why did it seem like there was so little focus on her?
And that's what's different about her administration. This is a very different inauguration that we've had for a university president, or a University of Minnesota president.
That's Megan Pierre-Louisi. She's a PR consultant for the University of Minnesota. She explained to me that the laid-back atmosphere of Gable's inauguration was actually intentional.
Her vision of what this looked like was more accessible and more inclusive. So there is tradition built in, and she did that during the installation ceremony and with her speech, but other than that, it breaks from tradition more. You know, we want everyone to join in this. We want everyone here to celebrate, have free food, and experience this together.
This emphasis on togetherness is characteristic of Gable's approach to education. During her time at the University of South Carolina, she required every academic unit to have a diversity officer in order to make sure that minority populations were represented amongst faculty. Her focus on inclusion was also reflected in her inauguration speech, which I was able to find online.
Ours is a story that will be written by our commitment to a community and a culture that is inclusive and shaped by equity, diversity, and dignity of people and ideas.
During her speech, President Gable also made a specific effort to highlight the importance of the Native American community and their role in the history of the university.
At this time, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge that the University of Minnesota Twin Cities is built within the traditional homelands of the Dakota people. It is important to acknowledge the peoples on whose land we live, learn, and work as we seek to improve and strengthen our relations with our tribal nations. I am committed to deepening relationships and engagement between the university and tribal nations, and would like to thank and acknowledge the tribal leaders who are present today.
After about 15 minutes of speaking, Gable's speech was over. For the rest of inauguration, people were free to walk around and take part in the celebration. Megan told me that some of the events were a bit ahead of schedule, but otherwise, everything went as planned.
Everything went really well, and then the speech was quick and to the point, gave her vision for what she sees for her administration and inclusivity and forward focus on students and mental health. That's a big priority for her, so it was really great to see that.
Overall, it seemed like inauguration wasn't really about President Gable as an individual. Rather, it was a day to celebrate her new role as president, in addition to celebrating the university as a whole. It was a very relaxed environment where everyone could find something to do. I spoke to a freshman named Celeste to see what she thought.
Okay, what are your impressions of this so far?
I'm very surprised. There's a lot of people, a lot of things you can get in here, and a lot of food also, so there's a lot of fun.
I definitely didn't expect inauguration to be fun, but it was. As I was leaving, I observed this presentation from the American Indian Studies Department. It perfectly exemplified everything Gable sought to convey, both through her speech and the laid-back activities. A break from tradition, and a goal to include everyone. The casual inauguration was a perfect way to introduce President Joan Gable to the U. For Real College Podcast, I'm Tosin Fasimo.
The whole music club on campus has been around for a little over 50 years now, providing concerts for students and folks in the surrounding Minneapolis area. It's a hub for local music. In the past, the Hole has been a bit of a low-key venue, going through different phases of musical styles. But as of recently, they've been branching out and diversifying their selection of artists. Lizzie Ritchie called up an event planner from years past and a current booker for the Hole to chat a little bit about the past, but more importantly, the future of the club.
In years past, the Hole has swayed between genres of music to try and match the taste of the students, while also trying to shape the music scene within Minneapolis.
I was maybe the third era of the Hole, and the first one was like the coffee house era, which was like the late 60s, early 70s, and it was like hippies and folk music. You know, and apparently you would go to the coffee house and see folk music. And then the 80s, there was kind of a punk era, and then I was kind of in sort of the alternative era.
Simon Peter Grobner was the booker and event coordinator for the Hole back in 1992 and 93. At the time, this was just a volunteer position and something he did for fun because he enjoyed the local music scene.
But for me, it was largely about promoting local music. And that kind of meant kind of going to all genres. And, you know, we would have jam bands that were really successful. Like in 92, we would have indie rock bands, punk rock bands.
This is something that the Hole is still trying to do and foster today. I spoke with Krishna, who is the current event planner for the Hole, and found his inspiration for booking to be quite similar.
Right. I mean, I just think, like, just coming into, like, this music stuff, like, when I started college, I, like, it just seems like a really cool opportunity to kind of be able to shape like your campus environment. And here at the U, it's really cool to be able to shape like the Minneapolis music scene in a way that's like kind of impactful. And I think that any way you can make like a positive experience and the like opportunity to make that, like, make it an opportunity for like, you know, minority groups and like other groups is like super dope to me.
It's really interesting to see that consistency over time, with the music club and also their main focus being on music made by the community itself.
So I think, you know, I think the whole should be sort of an incubator or a showcase of the best local music from all areas for students on campus.
The ability of being able to transform and move with a specific group or type of students that go to the local shows, no matter what type of music it is what has kept this venue alive for so long.
I mean, I think that maybe that's the key, is kind of specifically finding a niche. It's not just about, I mean, I personally tried to sort of compete with First Avenue, which was a hilarious idea, but the whole might kind of require sort of some niche genres that it can sort of specialize in and that certain audiences can really know about.
Looking back at where there has been success, you can see that it was because of the perfect timing with the perfect artist that students really wanted to see.
The biggest show that we had while I was there was Green Day. I think that was in May of 92, and we were really proud that we had about, I think, 260 people. But yeah, that was, you know, a great example of a band that was kind of about to get really famous playing the whole.
Yeah, I was definitely pretty proud of the Lucky Show last spring. Lucky is like a alternative trap rapper from Chicago, and I just think there's a really positive response to the show, and it sold out, and I got to like book a student DJ and give them the opportunity to like open for Lucky, and just having that show do so well after like definitely nothing like that being in the hole, nothing like that being at the U, it was really cool to me. I thought that was a great opportunity.
I guess that brings us to what the hole is doing differently today to really move this music venue forward rather than idly continuing in its same path.
So definitely like a priority for us is diversity in like all aspects. So I don't think we're ever shooting for one genre. I think maybe we were a little heavy in hip hop and R&B lately because in the past, like historically, it just hasn't been. And we wanted that to be represented on campus because a lot of students like that. So we want them to have like concerts to go to.
Having a diverse booking for artists at the whole has been something a bit unsuccessful in the past. From Simon's experience expanding on the type of genres that were showcased at the hole, that wasn't too popular. But as of recent years, and since he has left, he's been really excited to see that growth and the continuation of the hole.
I mean, I think I mainly hoped that it would continue, and so it's gratifying to see that it's still going after 51 years, when I was celebrating the 25th anniversary, as when I was a coordinator.
In Minneapolis over the past couple of years, there has been a crazy explosion of fostering local music and really helping all types of music have its rightful space on the stage. Looking forward, the whole wants to continue to expand on inclusivity of other genres.
I mean, I'd love to see things that we've, like more things that we've never seen in the whole before. I think just like branching out even further beyond just going from like rock to hip hop and R&B, seeing some genres we've never seen, like I don't know, like Afrobeat or stuff like that. I think doing things like that would be really cool and like reach more students that we might not be reaching right now. Moving forward, I know just coming up in October, we have like a pop rock band, Honey, coming in the middle of October, and then Drama, which is like kind of like a pop R&B duo, coming in later in October. So, you know, already.
Honey is going to be on October 18th, and Drama will be performing on October 26th. This can be your friendly reminder to support the great local music scene that we have here in Minneapolis, and the great history as well. This has been Lizzie Ritchie, signing off.
And that's all for this episode. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K. It's produced by Ben Hallam, Tosin Fasimo, and Lizzie Ritchie. I'm Nathan Fervoy, your host and managing editor. And all episodes of Real College Podcast can be found online at RadioK.org or Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can follow us on Instagram for a peek behind the scenes. Thanks for listening.